Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Friday, March 8th, the last day of our offsite down in Miami. We're bringing it to you live. Nick went viral yesterday. We're calling Nick the doctor for reasons that we're not going to disclose. But yeah, the doctor is, he's not with us right now. Last I checked, he was still in his bedroom with his little eye mask that he sleeps with to cover his eyes. But anyway, look, we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to discuss Ethereum NFTs rebounding. We're going to pick our NFT winners for the month, and we're going to discuss the continued dog meme coin mania as Dog with Hat makes another all-time high. So hopefully we'll be joined by the doctor, by Nick O'Neill. On the back of him going viral yesterday, just posting a picture of us on a boat. I'm not sure where Clemente was. He must have been using the restroom or something during that picture. But interesting to see the response that the doc is here. Here we go.
Oh,
here
shit.
He comes. Oh, shit. Nicky boy, how you doing, big dog?
Well, you're supposed to get on it.
You're supposed to get on it. Anyway, let's get this guy. Oh, boy. Take it easy. Careful. We got a little, ladies and gentlemen, the room in the villa or whatever that we're staying in here in Miami. One room randomly has a stripper pole. And Nick just did a little bit. Nick, you are not in the frame. Maybe you can sit to the left of easy.
Well, maybe you guys could have.
There we go.
Prepared this properly.
Anyway, the show today is going to be pretty juicy. We have a lot of meat on the bone. Nick, what do you make of the virality of your tweet? I don't know if you noticed, but someone with 360,000 followers on Twitter just quote tweeted it. He said he met you in 2006 at South.
Yeah, I know.
Got it. What do you make of someone like that noticing the tweet?
Does this microphone work?
I mean, it sounds like it does.
Well, that's cool because I can't hear anything with my headphones. These cables are an absolute mess here. That's crazy. Joseph, you're talking about Joe. I'm blanking on his last name. I think many people underappreciate how networked I am.
Yeah.
And how connected I am and how that enables quality content like the content that was published to my profile yesterday.
Sure.
To just go viral. This strip club is an obstruction, I will say, the way that this is framed up.
So I explored frames. I knew that you were going to be opinionated. I commented to Clemente multiple times that you'd be very opinionated on the framing of the shot. I had no choice but to do what I thought was best, knowing that you'd have commentary.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. It is funny, and people can see that it is a real room that we're seated in. A lot of people were saying, that ain't a real boat. That ain't a real stripper pole. They've said, like, they were just hating. Like, all my haters were hating. Yet look at us now. Look at where we are. You can kind of partially see me. Right?
Yeah, I think you just, if you go on the on that side of the, yeah, there you go.
No, I think this works here. What were you going to say, Clemente?
No. We're good.
I think we can move me. Yeah, that definitely could work. Yeah, we could definitely do that.
I will say I'm surprised that it has over 500,000 impressions. There's just something about you.
I think there's a bot on that, on the image one. Because the video has 125,000 impressions.
Which is still very good.
It is, but that one feels more realistic in terms of the number of impressions. This other one has a low like to impression ratio, which
Correct.
Makes me skeptical of this actual number. It's the same way that our views on Twitter are just getting absolutely botted right now. But like some people are saying that those are real.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's because so many people are quote tweeting your tweet and they're getting the likes. They're getting the impressions, but it's also converting to your
tweet. So that tweet is real. But are you saying that the viewers on our show are also real?
You know, that's debatable. But I do see our show. I mean,
see people in this space acting like they are real.
Well, we've been working very hard for this, frankly. Like this has been years in the works.
So yeah, that is, we have to throw away that microphone cable. Definitively, we have to throw it away. Anyway, look, ladies and gentlemen, we are just going to get things kicked off. We got the Dr. Nick O'Neill here back in action. Today's show is brought to you in partnership with Tensor, the leading Solana NFT marketplace. They've recently rolled out Price Lock. You heard us talk about this on the show last week. Very, very, very cool feature/product. Price Lock is now rolled out across various collections like Crypto Undeads, Tensorians, Bodagos, and more. It allows users to long and short Solana NFTs. So if you're shorting a collection, you basically lock in a price for a week. And then if the price goes below that price, like the actual collection price goes below your price lock price, then you make the spread minus a small fee. So go to tensor.trade/lock to try it out. That's tensor.trade/lock. We absolutely love working with Tensor, and you're going to see some really cool stuff out of us in collaboration with Tensor moving forward.
My favorite thing is all the people shorting Bodagas. That's been a real win.
Short squeeze.
Shout out to the shorters.
Well, Nick, do you want to hit this weather report?
Yeah, sure. I'm just moving this right now. Can we get the sound?
Worth it.
There we go. It's your morning weather report. Brought this one's for the haters. ETH market volume, 42 million. Bitcoin, 23 million. Solana, 18 million. Lots of action going on in NFT land. Why don't we throw crypto prices in there? Maybe we'll do that next time. Pudgies are up 10% to 14.9 ETH. Miladies are down 15% to 4.4. Overworld Incarnas are up 25%. No fucking clue what those are, to 1.25 ETH. On Sol, Tensorians are up 10% to 57.4. Those are random collections and random prices. Over the past 24 hours, voting for Jupiter's LFG launchpad is now live, and Jupholders can now stake and vote for LFG candidates to launch next, such as the NFT lending protocol Sharky and Banks, with the later bribing, or the latter bribing for votes by giving out Banks rewards on top of the Juke voting rewards. This music's getting crazy. Sharky is currently in the lead with 29% of votes, followed by UpRock at 10%. Suddenly UpRock hops in there out of nowhere, the mobile DPIN network. All right. Juke is trading at 73 cents, up 17% over the last 7 days. Damn. Missed out on the Juke trade there, huh? Pudgy Penguins dipped after a whale dumped 50 into bids for 110 ETH loss. Wow. That's crazy. The floor fell as low as 12.1 ETH until David Choi from MetaStreet injected $2 million into Blur loans to stop the debt spiral. We got to watch out for those debt spirals. The main collection has bounced back up 9% to 14.6 ETH, and Lil Pudgies are back up to 1.3 ETH. Shout out to the Pudgy Penguins. Shout out to the financial manipulation and the financial manipulators. They're really helping this NFT market. Mm-hmm. It's clear. Pantera, because NFTs are the perfect asset for financial manipulation. Pantera Capital is looking to secure up to $250 million worth of Sol from the bankrupt estate of FTX, capitalizing on a 39% discount. Pantera aims to attract investors willing to commit. Why is this a story? Aren't there like a million people trying to get Solana from FTX, like crypto from FTX?
This is newer.
Okay. Well, shout out to Pantera Capital. Wonder if they're fans of the band. What do you think?
Pantera? Could be.
Yeah. Lastly, it was the dog meme coin mania again. Let's go. Led by Floki, up 50% to 1.9 billion. Pepe up to another all-time high. Come on. You know it. Bonk up 15% and Dog Whiff Hat up 25%. All to new all-time highs, other than Bonk, I guess, is the only one that was not at an all-time high.
Dog Whiff Hat, definitely very strong. Thanks for the weather report, Doc.
Hey, anytime. Portal Coin.
Well, I
has announced a partnership with Dota 2. You want me to do it?
No, I was going to do it.
Okay, go ahead.
Portal Coin has announced a partnership with Dota 2, one of the largest esports games in the world, to host an esports tournament and drop exclusive collectibles. Big story there. Camino Finance announces a March 31st snapshot for its upcoming April distribution of their token, KMNO, Camino. The token gives control of protocol revenue allocation. Next story, ArtBlox announces the start of a, quote, new chapter where they will be pausing drops, adjusting focus, and being more selective of curated projects. Very interesting stuff there from ArtBlox. We'll have to see what the future holds there. Big shout out. And Nick, what do you...
I'm on Inverse, bruh.
He said, yeah, so Inverse Bra, iconic Twitter account in the crypto Twitter world. He said, today happened. Yeah. Why did he include the value in time response?
Because it's about retweet or replies, but I don't understand how amazing is
amazing.
Like, I don't understand.
I think he's saying it's amazing that they're trading against us because it's desirable to trade against somebody who's not as good as you. I think that's being implied. That is crazy, though, that you posted that picture. That's true virality.
Your boy's a meme again.
Again.
How many times is this going to happen? Let me tell you, many more.
Many more. Stay tuned.
Wait till I'm wearing some other weird outfit or in some weird location that makes people truly pissed off.
Keep memeing, ladies and gentlemen. All right, first story, quick hitter, Portal Coin and the Dota 2 collab. Easy, you know, this is one of the biggest esports video games in the world. I looked it up. They had $900 million in revenue as of late last year. Pretty crazy stuff that Portal Coin has this collaboration for exclusive Dota 2 collectibles. What do you make of what's going on?
A lot of people said that it would not happen. There was speculation on if it was going to be Dota 2 or PUBG. So two relatively large games, somewhat outside of the U.S. audience. And sure enough, Portal Coin did say that they have this partnership with Dota, which a lot of people were like, how? Like, that's a big thing. So seeing a massive esports organization and game that a ton of organizations play, seeing a massive esports game with Portal's backing, I think gives some level of legitimacy that people were speculative of and hesitant on. So I think it's a big win for Portal Coin. I'm excited to see what these collectibles are. Are they actually going to be NFTs? Are they in-game assets? Is it a mixture of both? There's a lot of questions I still have, but I think that this is a huge win for Portal Coin. I mean, I think Creeps even rallied on this.
Pretty wild that they locked in this partnership. This is a huge partnership. Great to see big time video games from outside of Web3 starting to get involved and slowly kind of changing the narrative in the gaming world. Clemente?
Yeah, easy. What do you make of the Portal Coin price action? We did see it run, I believe, 15 to 20% before pulling back, and it's back down to a new all-time low.
Yeah, sell the news. There's unlocks consistently.
At what price would you be a buyer?
I'm not a buyer.
Never?
No.
Why is that?
Just will not buy it.
Yeah, I have zero interest in buying this thing. I'm on record calling it a scam.
Okay, well, there you go. Interesting. Look, sometimes there's just things that you don't want to buy. Last night at dinner, Easy and Clemente made, or they were about to make a bet. I do not believe
that. Yeah, Clemente's a little bitch and didn't want to get in on it.
Clemente did not take Easy up on the bet last night. And then this morning, I overheard Easy say to Clemente that the bet is now off the table.
What was the bet?
Nick did not take it. No, Nick said that he would not take the bet. And then he also said that you should not take the bet because it's 40% of your net worth.
That's just disrespectful. Well, so the bet was for anyone.
No, let me break the bet down. Okay. I was the one who placed the bet here.
Let's do it.
Floor?
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. You should see the ape floor. It's like a two-trait fast food ape on the floor.
That's crazy.
Which caught me totally off guard. The bet was that I said in the next 6 months, mutants will trade at some point under one ETH or at one ETH. So that counts a WEETH bid, counts anything. A one ETH sale will occur for Mutant Apes over the next 6 months.
Okay. And what does the taker of the bet have to pay?
So the loser has to purchase the winner a Mutant Ape. So if they trade at one ETH, Clemente has to buy me an ape. If they don't, in 6 months' time, I have to buy him a Mutant Ape. So he has way better odds on this, like significantly better value price to this bet because I'm taking the downside of it. And he's getting, if they go to 10 ETH, then in 6 months, I have to spend 10 ETH on a mutant for him. So he has basically unlimited upside. And I am essentially just saying you only have to put up one ETH on it.
I would have taken the bet if I was Clemente just because, you know, even if a mutant goes to 1.01 Ethereum,
there just has to be a sale at one ETH. And obviously not like a price manipulated sale of someone just dumping it when the floor is three. But like we saw with Pudgies. Pudgies did not trade under 13, but there was someone who unloaded them all the way down to 12.2, which would have counted as them selling.
That would count for
sure.
That
counts.
Different. Yeah. Okay. Well, I would have taken the bet if I was Clemente, but I also am not a gambler, so I understand why Clemente did not take the bet. I personally...
Everyone's telling Clemente to take the bet. Single person.
It's because, I mean, the likelihood of a mutant ape actually...
I just took the bet.
No.
I just took it.
No.
It's my bet now.
Well, we'll see what happens. It would be wild for a Mutant Ape to go that low. If you had to predict a bottom, Nick, what do you think the bottom for Mutant Apes is? Two?
I mean, flip a coin.
Or did we already see it?
All I'm thinking is about people wouldn't say we made it or didn't think we'd make it. But look at us now. Look at where we are. For those that are on YouTube, look at where we are. Many people didn't think we'd make it.
This beautiful room.
But look at us now. There's
this beautiful pole.
We're in a room with a stripper pole. They didn't think we'd make it.
A delightful smell that's filling our nostrils.
It smells
here.
Great in here.
I don't know if it smells that. Does it smell that bad in here?
No, it's not that bad. But
it's not bad.
People have smoked cigarettes.
A smell.
Yeah, people have smoked cigarettes in this room. 1,000%.
Yeah. Well. How do your hands smell? That's a interesting question. In terms of this bet, man, I don't know how low mutants are going to get. One ETH is.
Quite low.
That's quite low. That would be tough.
I think we're at
That'd
a point.
Be tough if it hits one ETH.
We're at a point where you can kind of.
What would it be?
Tough, dude. That would be ridiculous if it hit one ETH. Holy shit. Do you genuinely feel that that's the case? I mean, obviously, yes. You made the bet.
Yes. I mean, I think ETH goes much higher in a shorter time period, which is going to continue to lead to Ethereum NFTs bleeding. I think in the short term, we may see mutants trade back above like 3 to 3.2, 3.3. But I think over the next 6 months, crypto's still set to continue to rally right into the election. And that's going to set up for just continuing to bleed. There will be some projects that rally. There will be some that have catalysts that continue to go higher. But Yuga's dilutive events and like continual asset accrual of other assets from other ecosystems into their own is a fear of mine. And I think they just have too much to manage right now.
I think we need Biden to step in and come up with some sort of stimulus.
Quantitative easing on mutants.
I like it. Look, Ethereum NFTs on the whole have been rebounding off of a low. ETH NFTs recorded over $41 million in volume yesterday, including $8 million from OpenSea, which is up 4x from last month's lows for the marketplace. So OpenSea having a little bit of a rebound. Very interesting. Leading Ethereum NFT collections are recovering, including, like we mentioned, Pudgy Penguins up 10%. Clemente, you've been following the Ethereum NFT landscape very, very closely for the past, call it 5 weeks, 6 weeks. What do you make of the action that we're seeing here? Where do you think things will go?
The most interesting thing to me is literally the OpenSea volume. The fact that this was a month ago, only $2 million, and everyone thought with Magic Eden launching their ETH marketplace that OpenSea was basically done. We are seeing, I basically use OpenSea to track like organic volume, basically. Because
retail participation.
Retail participation, aka exit liquidity.
Yup.
Right.
Yep.
So as that goes up, if we see OpenSea volume start hitting 12, 15 million, that's very interesting to me because that's organic.
Are you
volume.
Using any Dune Analytics dashboards to track?
Yes.
It? Okay. Thank you. Spectacular.
Multiple Dune Analytics dashboard. I'm very in the weeds monitoring what's happening. And it, man, OpenSea got into the ones in terms of daily volume. I thought it was over for them.
I thought you were going to say daily users.
The single digit. Single digit million dollar volume. It
the
was
ones,
getting.
One.
It
the
was
ones.
Getting crazy.
Got into the ones.
It got into the ones. And look, I mean, at some point, I was like, hey, man, it's over for us because what was terrible was like we were seeing Blur get 30, $40 million volume days. They were getting to the 30s, the 40s. But what didn't happen was floor price going up. We were seeing just capitulation across the board and then just continued Blur marketplace volume. So I just ignore that as an indicator of whether or not we're quote unquote back or not. But the OpenSea volume, it's very encouraging. It's a lot of blue making a comeback, which is what I have pulled up here. Look, it's starting to get Magic Eden, 1.3 million in the last 24 hours. So
do you think that this is indicative of retail participants coming back or what I like to call the traveling participant, someone who's familiar with
tourists?
It does feel like the tourists are starting to come back a little bit.
Probably the very, very, very beginning of that. You know,
well, I think it's because people are seeing crypto run and they're like, oh, I have some of these pictures that I bought with crypto. So I'm curious if they're still worth anything.
Yep.
Because it's like, let me go dump these and let me just see what happens.
And they're going back to OpenSea because that's what they were using before.
We got Jack coming in. Okay. Nick's got his little decaf. Jack, the head of strategy, doesn't want to be on camera and participate, even though I would like to have him just kind of sit on the show for 2 or 3 minutes. See you later, Jack. Anyway, look.
What I am curious on, though, from Easy. When you look at like ETH NFT volume as a whole, it felt like sentiment maybe reached a local bottom.
I bought a D-God. I bought a D-God.
So
yeah.
You bought a D-God. Right.
Nick, so Easy bought a D-God this morning.
I'm wondering where my wormhole airdrop is. I've already asked.
What was that price?
1.71.
1.71 Ethereum for a D-God. Still a pretty, it's still a high floor price, quite frankly. 1.71 ETH. Nick?
It is, oh, still, damn, it is still
I'm
pretty.
Underwater already. What the fuck?
Is it going down?
Yeah, they're 1.6. Oh my god, a blur farmer dumped like 60 at 1.67. What the hell happened?
This is just going down. Quick question, Pio.
Yes.
Did you drink Dunkin' this morning?
I had no choice but to drink a black coffee, an iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Me and Clemente have been discussing Dunkin' Donuts and its high level of quality, the premier purveyor of coffee, as they call it.
I just can't, that was Starbucks, but I just can't, I can't relate to the purchasing.
Crush Starbucks? Is that theirs?
Starbucks was the purveyor of, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's a little inside joke there. Anyway.
A little inside joke from our business strategy sessions we've been doing. Shout out to the fact that we've been doing business strategy sessions. That's the type of content y'all came for.
There you go. So look, we're going to do a fun segment that I think a lot of people enjoy. I definitely enjoy it. It's called Winner of the Month. So this is going to be for the month of March. I mean, we're already like 8 days into March, so it's interesting to do it today.
I thought you were going to say, let's run the segment and the show early.
That's everybody's favorite segment is just like, stop talking. Anyway, last month, Clemente has it in the call sheet that I won last month for picking creeps, but I don't believe I picked creeps. I thought I picked doodles last month.
Yeah, he picked doodles.
I picked doodles.
Creeps was 2 months ago. So now you're just lying.
So you won with Bitcoin. Well, did Bitcoin Puppets outperform doodles?
Well,
you won with Bitcoin Puppets. Congratulations. There you go.
How did I not pick those? What did I pick?
Not sure what you picked.
It doesn't even say. It only says Pio and Clemente.
What a
stupid game that was. There's only two people participating.
No, I think Nick picked 12-fold.
No, he didn't pick 12-fold.
No, okay. If you remember what happened, it was towards the end of the show, and we were like, oh, we don't want to do this. And then you just rattled off a bunch of random projects. You're like, I don't care about this. And basically, you're just like, end the show. So if you want to know what actually happened, that's what...
That's how it went out. Well, look, winner of the month.
That sounds about right.
March edition. Easy. Are you going to bet D-Gods is the winner?
Do I have to?
No, you can bet whatever you want. Bitcoin, ordinals. It can be anything.
Look, give me 30 seconds.
Okay,
to think
Clemente,
about this.
You wrote the segment. Do you have a pick in your mind?
Well, look, I don't want to pump my sappy seals back because that would be, I think.
Unethical.
It would be unintegral. So
integralist.
It'd be unintegralist, but I'm lack looking at
signal a lack of integrity.
If you guys really want to know my pick, I would go with Azuki Elementals at 0.4 ETH. My money is on Zagabond coming out of the woodwork, maybe coming back from his multiple vacations. Some are saying some benders that he's been on recently to
benders.
Really finally deliver something. That the Azuki team is waiting for.
No.
Look, I don't want to say whether or not that's actually happening. What I will say, though, is that some of the other team members, the very solid team that they do have been saying, hey, a comic is on the way or whatever it is with the green bean and in an anime episode. It feels like something's churning the water. These feel oversold at 0.4 ETH. That's my pick. For winner of the month, Azuki Elementals.
I think it's a fair pick. I guess I'm going to personally go with... I'll go with Sappy Seals. How about that? I'm betting on a 2X on Sappy Seals for this month. I don't know if I'm going to get it. It's already March 8th. I think there's not that much month left, but we'll see if the Sappy Seals make a run. I'm going to go with Sappy Seals. Nick?
Man, this is tough. So we're going for multiples here.
Mm-hmm.
That does... limit the options. I'm gonna go with Marms. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Lil Potates is actually that's a very interesting pick.
Stop.
You know what? I'm changing my answer. I'm going with Lil Potates.
Okay, Lil Potates.
You will single-handedly sweep the floor and win the contest.
Lil Potates at 0.5 Solana. I'm changing my answer. Look at these cute ass things. I put it out yesterday. I tweeted it. Would you rather own one potato from Memeland or 182 little
my potatoes. Bet's potatoes.
Potatoes.
No, my bet is potatoes on Ethereum. That's my bet.
180.
My bet is potatoes on Ethereum. I think meme coin continues to rally. I think Stakeland goes live.
How much is a potato right now?
Holy shit, they're high. I thought they were like 1.2. I didn't even look. Fuck.
That's really high.
Just because you're going little potatoes, I'm going pixel potatoes. Okay? And I'm going to beat you in this. I'm going to beat you in the mutant bet. And I'm just going to continue to pound the sand here.
It's a lot of dominance chatter from Easy. So I
got one.
Yeah, we just need Nick. Go ahead, Nick.
I think I'm going to go with mutants.
Probably betting for a 50% gain on that and hoping that nobody else can outperform that.
A 10% gain and we all go negative.
That could be it. That absolutely could be it. Well, you heard the picks. We got Mutant Ape Yacht Club from Nick. We got Lil Potates from Clemente. Easy, are you sticking with your original pick or are you going pixel?
I'm going with the potatoes.
You have the proper potatoes, and I'm going to be going with Sappy Seals.
The fact that we went no ordinals plays very interesting.
You'd have to know an ordinals collection to go with.
The monk node monkeys, I was actually thinking of going with
0.66.
They pulled back a lot though, and I'm wondering like how
the better move would be Quantum Cats, in my opinion, from ordinals. I do hold one, but I think at 0.32 they pulled back off 0.45, sets them up for some nice upward trajectory. Node monkeys hit an all-time high.
You know what? I'm switching to Quantum Cats.
Hell yeah.
All right, Nick's got Quantum Cats. Brother. There you go. Currently sitting at a 0.324 Bitcoin floor. Supply of 3,300 Quantum Cats, one of the prominent Bitcoin ordinals collections. Great pick, Nick.
Prominent, dominant. You know how I feel.
The doctor has spoken. That was fire. So look, ladies and gentlemen.
Called Quest, by the way. I didn't just.
Oh, no, you should have just taken full credit for that.
Nah, those were Nick's bars. Look, today's show is brought in partnership with Tensor, the leading Solana NFT marketplace. They've recently rolled out Price Lock feature across various collections like Crypto Undead's, Tensorians, Bodogos, and more. The Price Lock feature allows users to long and short NFT collections. So if you are shorting a collection, you're basically locking in a price for a week. And then if the price of the collection drops below your Price Lock price, then you make the spread minus a small fee. It's a really cool, really interesting product. If you go to tensor.trade/lock, you can try it out. Big shout out to Tensor. And we're actually going to talk a little bit right now about the state of Solana NFT. So last week, Signal on this show suggested taking a price lock short on Parcel when it was 20 Solana. Parcel actually ended up going as low as 10 Solana, and Easy took out the price lock when it was at 15 Solana.
Why didn't we take it out when it was at 10?
You mean at 20? You mean at 20?
No, I'm saying take it out. We started it at
21, sold it at 14, and it went all the way down to 10. So we
got it before. So you sold it before it had gone down to 10.
Yes.
Yeah. I like it.
We had a 400% gain. So I'll take that. We missed out on a 1,000% gain, but we take those. We still 400 in this market's great. I'm locked in on Price Lock right now, and I actually have a play right now.
That was going to be my next question. What is your Price Lock pick for the week?
So my Price Lock pick for the week is Banks, sitting at a 4.23 floor.
So this is BANX.
Yes. Reason being, it's a lending and liquidity platform. They're currently fighting with Sharkify to be the token that's launched on Jupiter's upcoming LFG launchpad. And the other thing is, they're bribing people to use their Jupe votes. They're like, we'll give you Banks points if you vote for us. Okay. So you can actually put your Jupiter in Banks. They then delegate the vote to themselves and hammer it. The reason I also like this is
taking a long price.
Yeah, I'm going long. The other reason I like this is that the option is extremely close to the current floor. Break-even bid is 4.54 with unlimited upside, and it's only going to cost me 0.14. So we're locking in this long right now. Because I looked at some of the others too. Like I was looking at Sharkify, similar bet there. But Sharkify has to go to 7.6 to break even. So this is a much closer to the floor option that we can get here for
Price Lock longs. How much would be like a Price Lock on Mad Lads?
Mad Lads right now is 5 soul for a Price Lock. And that's actually really close to the floor too. So I look for where the spread is sitting because you want something close to the floor on these longs. Like if I look at Sharky needs to move 1.6 soul for you to get break even. Mad Lads needs to move 1 and Banks needs to move 0.17. Basically my cost. So we're actually going to take a second Price Lock on Banks here because that spread is really thin. really thin. So we're hammering this price lock.
Hey, I audience, think banks are going go up. Out and buy banks right now so Easy can.
Or is trip. The audience going to short banks to try
oh,
to.
Oh, God, don't squeeze. Don't
well,
squeeze.
Okay, well, very interesting stuff. So Mad Lads, right? 195 Solana right now on Tensor.Trade. I've been holding a Mad Lad for a long time. I've also lended, I've provided liquidity for Mad Lad loans. So I'm pretty familiar with the price
you
action.
Doing that recently?
I actually haven't done it recently.
I haven't either. It felt risky there for a moment when NFTs were dropping
and
you would have ended up with Mad Lads. Basically, there's a lot of people that are ending up with the underlying NFTs right now. What are you laughing at?
You got to work for your bags, ladies and gentlemen. We're ripping a lucky buy on banks. Let's try to get one here.
So lucky buy, different feature on Tensor.Trade right here.
How much did you pay for this lucky buy?
2.6.
Wow. That's pretty high.
Yeah. I'm a big, damn it. We lost.
It's okay. It's all right. No problem. So look, so Easy. Mad Lad's price actually has significant stability. It's also wild that in the face of Solana ripping to $150, Mad Lads just live right around 200 Solana. It's pretty insane. It's $30,000 right now for one Mad Lad. I expressed that to Clemente this morning. He said that's basically low. Clemente, you think it's a sick? Seriously, I actually think
he literally said that.
I think the gap from 30K to 50K is a foregone conclusion for Mad Lads.
What are these things? I mean, 184 SOL, what is that, like 20,000? What is it? 25,
no, it's $30,000 at 195 Solana times 150.
Yikes. That, I mean, 30,000 were, I mean, if we compare this to the other top collections across Bodogos. The Ordinals collections, ETH collections. Mad Lads is the way I'm looking at it is like you're buying a 10K collection from like Coinbase, right? Imagine if you bought a 10K collection from Coinbase before it just sent and before this, the next kind of big run that we're about to see. I think they're available, their exchange, the backpack exchange is available on 11 states in the United States. So they're making moves. They are leaning into the privacy piece, which is like basically you send money to our exchange, you can't track it. Has I ever heard of Tornado Cash?
Crypto people like that.
They love it. They're leaning into the anonymity piece. So I don't know. I mean, you can't fade that basically. So I think Mad Lads go, I mean, at least $50,000.
I mean, I think it definitely hits that. If we keep getting more of these airdrops that none of us can claim, there's no doubt in my mind that their floor continues to go up. But in all seriousness, I think on a Solana basis, all these things have retraced in the face of Solana pumping. But I think they will then readjust on a Solana basis when Solana, you know, consolidates. So I think we have an opportunity. Are you going again?
I'm trying for a Mad Lad on a 1% chance. I didn't win.
It's okay. Well, Easy, I have a question.
Entertainment.
How would you feel about a price lock short on Frogana?
So that was actually what I originally looked at, was that price lock short on Frogana. I was really interested in it, but the spread is crazy on it. It seems like a lot of people took that out. So if I go short here, I need them to drop to 3.5.
Wow.
Oh,
so
that's
massive
not good.
Drop.
That's not good.
A massive drop.
That's not good.
Yeah. So I was like, dude, you need almost a 50% retracement on that.
I'm looking right here. It's hard to actually find other like, it's hard to find sure thing type options for this, Clemente.
I will say though, like I was looking at, like I was with Easy yesterday and we just aped 0.025 Bitcoin into this random ass like miners collection. I sold mine. I took like a 50.
Got confirmation on it this morning. It's going higher.
And I was like, oh dude, that's straight up like $1,700. Like I could buy a pretty good Solana NFT. That's like 12, 13 SOL, right?
Real quick, can you share that play there, Easy, and explain what confirmation you got this morning and why I bought one of them also?
And then I just don't want us to forget after you do that. Price lock long little potatoes. What do we think?
Oh, that's just you're out to lunch.
Price lock short little potatoes.
Also out to lunch.
Just okay, don't do it.
Why? That's, yeah. Okay, so it's called Rune Mania Miners was the play that I bought into. 0.023 right now. We bought in at 0.026. Reason being, the reason being runes from Casey Rodimer, which are going to be an easier way to trade shit coins on Bitcoin. So instead of BRC20s,
a competitor to BRC20,
yeah,
by Casey Rodemore, who is the developer and, you know, the creator,
the father of ordinals,
the father of the Bitcoin ordinals protocol built on, yep, Bitcoin.
So a lot of people are saying that these plays are going to get the FOMO into the actual runes release, which a lot of people are saying is basically imminent. That's why you're seeing R6 get a lot of volatility. These Rune Mania miners are a way for you to try to get access into the first 10 that he's releasing. So he's inscribing the first 10, and then anyone can inscribe them after. Of course, there's some counter arguments to be made here that, like, RSIC is actually the first one because it's, quote, decentralized versus him launching the first 10 himself. So a lot of internal debates on this. But the way I'm playing it is I'm getting these miners because they're going to be the ones that are actually going to do the work, like legwork for me to get access to the runes.
I'll be right back.
The doctor will be right back. I have a follow-up question real quick. What about price lock short MARMs? Asking.
The founder is a big fan of ours. That's,
that's another one, though. Like, because the thing on shorts is the max upside you can get is if it goes to zero.
Right.
You get one soul. So I'm like, I'd rather find price locks for longs, potential upside,
yeah,
because it's uncapped. Like, we made a 735% gain on homeowners when I just looked at the exercise. Versus something like this where, like, yeah, you get 100% gain, but it's one soul. Versus those go up a soul and you get in at 0.7. You're looking at a nice return on that for the
option. I'm so pissed, man. I bought two of these MARMs at, like, 2.5 soul because it was just like, oh, 2.5, like, whatever. I just had it in my wallet. And the fact that it's so smooth, so fast, you can buy a Solana NFT so easily. There's no pain involved. I bought this MARM. I was like, eh. Is literally zero gas. Might as well. I bought these MARMs at 2.5. So now they're down to one. So I'm just losing like $200, yeah, $300. And it's.
So you bought two. You're down about $400. Yeah, 400 bucks.
Well, I minted one. I bought another at 2.5. I sold, I think, one of them at like 1.2. But I'm just like, dude, what's the deal with MARMs? Like, is this worth.
I still hold my two.
How do you feel? Like, are you. I know you sold a lot of your ETH NFTs. Are you interested in...
I've been bidding Solana NFTs. Again, I'm back to bidding on them.
What are you bidding?
I bid Mad Lads, Tensorians.
Oh.
What else did I bid here? Let me take a quick peek. I have my bids out. But yeah, Mad Lads and Tensorians. I threw a really low bid on Mad Lads in hopes that they would have like a volatile sell-off on a Solana rally. Tensorians...
Would have been better off just doing a loan.
Yeah. Like, I thought about that, but I was like, the benefit of... bids is that you can leverage bids across multiples, so you only need to put in X amount of soul, and if one of them gets filled, it'll cancel the others. Whereas loans, that liquidity is locked up until the loan's paid back. So like, I can move a little bit more agile in the space. I also bid on Homeowners Parcel Association, which one filled. I wish more filled because I think that that's going to be rally back into their points. Bid on Sharkify, and then bid on, what was the last one I bid on? Heist Land at two. So that's relatively close to where it's at now. But just taking some speculative plays again, trying to see what's and where the market's moving at the moment. Some people are upset about Parcel just because of the points snapshot and TGE event that was announced. More people wanted the speculation on it, but that sadly didn't happen. So yeah, I'm kind of looking at some of these DeFi side of things, NFTFi, where it's like Sharkify, Banks, Parcel. That's interesting. Of course, Mad Lads with the exchange, Tensorians with the marketplace, Heist with their season 3 going live. A lot of things that I'm looking at more from that where I'm like, I think the bids are interesting because now I can also farm tensor points with it and potentially get a better fill where the floor is actually higher than what I'm getting in at.
Fascinating stuff. We'll have to see if these longs and shorts end up working out. You put in two. Clemente?
The interesting thing about Tensor's UI is they now show you like all activity, including the price lock shorts or longs. Right now, we're seeing a lot of people shorting the parcels. Easy.
A lot.
And I'm not seeing a lot of longs. So it is interesting, like being able to see the momentum between the two versus it just being buys versus sell. And when some collections get a bunch dumped on it, people are just like, oh, this is just a lot of bidders that are trying to farm liquidity. Yeah. Just got a bunch. So they're going to try to dump. So you can actually play this buy in the long or short on price locks in a pretty interesting way in like a low risk manner. Like my problem with ETH NFTs, I love trading ETH NFTs, but I don't like buying an entire, like putting one ETH, which is literally $4,000 on one trade to try to get some upside. And then I was like, oh, like everyone was saying, hey, try the fractionalized NFTs. So I'm like, okay, cool. And then I go in and I'm like, flooring is interesting, but you're paying $60, $70, $80.
Oh, you want $70 of a pudgy? That'll be $140.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I'm like, there's no reason that I would want to do that if you really want to trade it. So this, the fractionalized piece, which is basically what Tensor is doing to a certain extent.
Well, there's also other ways on Sol to get fractional exposure too. Like Ovals works very closely with a bunch of that stuff, which is interesting to me. And I also like the fact that you can get into the price locks just because of the cost here. Like that's where I'm like, I can take a long for half a Sol on an asset that's 10x that value. Like I can go long on Mad Lads with 5 Sol and capitalize on significantly more upside than a true three Sol move, which to me is really interesting.
It's way less risky. Obviously, I'm saying
way more risky. Yeah, because if the price stays flat for 7 days, you just lose money. Whereas if you buy the asset,
you don't
lose money.
Yeah. You have the
asset. So in my opinion, it's way more risky. But hey, listen, great entertainment profit.
I mean, less liquidity that you're risking, right? Like yes, if you want to yes. buy
the
Mad
risk
Lab,
reward profile yeah. is better for sure.
As someone who is less on the
smaller capital,
I would say I'm not the richest piggy in the bank, as some would say.
The most stuffed.
Yeah, you know, I'm not I don't get stuffed very often.
Yo, I don't want to hear about that, man. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Clemente
like that one. The good thing the doctor missed that one. Let me tell you that. Good thing the doctor missed that one.
We should ask him his thoughts.
Don't worry, doc.
How stuffed is your piggy bank?
Oh my God,
Nick. How stuffed would you say your piggy bank is? Because what I was saying was, as someone who is, my piggy bank is not as stuffed. I like the
verbatim was he does not get stuffed often.
Okay. Anyway, moving on.
But, anyways, that's all to say that like that's why I'm interested in doing price lock stuff, because I can make these trades, these theses that I have, I can just put money.
Sorry, how stuffed is your piggy bank?
Not as stuffed as yours.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, that'll conclude the price lock segment.
I don't know if I can fit anything else in my piggy bank. If I'm being completely honest,
you got a good piggy bank.
It's so stuffed.
Okay, so easy through in two. Just to remind everyone, what were the two price locks?
I like banks long.
BANX banks B-A-N-X, long.
And then the other
sounds
option.
Like Spanx.
Why do you do this, man?
Spanx is a billion-dollar company.
Billion-dollar company.
So banks should be as well.
That's why he put a long in. That's why he did the long. And the second one was
the one that I liked. Oh man, where'd it go? What was the other one we took?
I actually think you just doubled down on banks.
I think I took two banks, and then we liked the Mad Lads one because it's really close.
Okay, and we liked the Mad
we
like Lads.
The spreads.
One. The spreads.
I'm genuinely curious here. Is there a trade? Like, what's the trade to be made in the market right now?
Dog whiff hat or mog or something like that.
I mean, I have my mog, I have my bonk, I have.
Do you have dog with hat?
I got rid of a dude. I don't even want to reflect on it. There's too much pain associated with it at this moment in time because I was an early adopter of dog with hat.
He was an early hat wearer.
Like within the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I think that I was a huge fan. I made money on it. I took those gains and said bye bye. And that was a dumb,
like $1,000 gain, $2,000 gain.
Yeah, I made a few. I think it was actually a few grand. It wasn't as big as my nuts on the table trade.
But more realized than the nuts on the table trade, right?
Nuts on the table. I didn't realize because I was
aggressive.
You were telling everybody to put their nuts on the table.
I was pumping and I was calling people tiny nut boys,
right?
If they didn't, so
they didn't put their nuts on the table.
Yeah. So we ran into a classic situation.
Yes.
So I was running into that, and I thought it was unethical to dump on the people that I was telling.
Integralists.
Yeah, it was not integralists.
Lack of integrity.
My problem
it was without integral.
My problem with meme coins is that I don't like. I just feel I can't trade these right now. I just buy them because there's right now. It feels like there's this dynamic, at least with some of these top meme coins, where instead of being PVP, it's basically the people that stuck around in the bear market. These Web3 native people that are already in it are just teaming up, where we're just saying, hey, let's just buy the shit out of this because in 6 months, we're just all going to dump on retail. We're like teaming up against retail coming in the next 6 months.
Oh, man, I can't wait for retail to come.
So I will say I got my first retail text yesterday.
Okay.
They sent me a picture of Mog and said,
wow,
heard this is the next Doge.
Wow.
And I was like, shit.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
Yeah, it was bad. was that? I was worried. I was worried.
My cousin texted me, my Chilean cousin, and he was like, I was telling him about Ethereum, Bitcoin, etc.
Was he in Chile?
Yeah. And he, in December, I was telling him like, hey, dude, look, get into these things. And he's like, dude, you know, I'm kind of interested in it. But he just texted me yesterday. He's like, hey, hello, Clemente. Do I buy Bodogos? Do I buy Bonk? What do I buy?
And did he say Bonk?
No, he was just like looking at it. He was like, should I just buy Ethereum Bodogos. Or Bitcoin? But he's like very interested in it. And then the guys on the boat yesterday were actually like, they were asking us about what we do, whatever. And they were like, they're in a crypto. I told him we were a crypto company. And he's like, oh, what's Bitcoin at? And I was like, dude, it's at like almost $70,000. He's like, no. I almost bought some like when it was at $30,000. Oh my God. Like, oh, I need to go buy some. And he was like so fascinated by crypto and by buying Bitcoin. It's getting feisty.
Frothy.
Just the beginning. Frothy. We'll have
we're
to see how it
we're
goes.
We're sitting at extreme greed too, though, is the thing I keep looking at. It's like we're reaching this point where like everything has rallied hard as hell.
So do you get like a little bit of a pullback here?
Yeah, I think so. Because we're going to.
Including meme coins?
Oh, yeah. Meme coins, whenever there's a pullback across the wider market, get hit the hardest. But I think that sets up the generational opportunity to buy the meme coin dip. Like, dude, it's about to break 4K. $39.90.
I want to fast forward to that ETH ETF so bad. I want the ETH ETF basically like at least 50% of how bad I wanted the Bitcoin ETF.
It's kind of crazy how much ETH is rallying, yet I don't feel the same level of enthusiasm from the NFT side of things. Like it doesn't have that same, there was this like movement in 2021. It felt like this like thing where you were like part of something.
That movement came almost a full calendar year after the Bitcoin halving. We're still so early in this cycle. I'm serious.
I see what you're saying, Nick, right? Well, back in 2021, at least when I was a part of it, and I came in a little bit late, but it did feel like
you were class of 22, weren't you?
The NFT, no, 21, late 21, late.
All yeah, the top, all time high.
Yeah, yeah,
all time high.
But say where you're
it did feel like the NFT community was mostly Ethereum, right? And they were all rallying towards this greater movement. And what it feels like right now is there's so many different communities like almost competing against each other. You have ordinals saying like, I'm an ordinal maxi. Bitcoin is better than Ethereum. And like the whatever my bags are going to be better than your bags. And it's like, it feels a little bit divided in the NFT front where people are so bullish on their own bags and there's so much liquidity to go around.
But that happened in 2021 too, though, except it wasn't blockchain versus blockchain. It was everyone was on ETH, but it was my picture is better than your picture. Mm-hmm. Now it's Bitcoin's better than ETH, Sol's better than ETH, AVAX is better than ETH. There is a trend. There's absolutely a trend.
Better than ETH is
definitely
kind of the thing.
Which I think has caused some negative tonality.
Yet ETH is number one again.
I think that at the end of the day, there will be a place for Ethereum NFTs no matter how you spin it. And I think that there's going to be like a crazy.
I mean, we're seeing it. It's the number one volume outpacing ordinals right now. So I like definitively, if everyone's like hating on it, it's still part of the conversation no matter how you spin it. And like people talk about what's Pudgy's floor at? What's the ape floor at? And they go to Azuki. And they look at the different ETH NFTs, it's still part of the conversation.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that it's suddenly just going to, it's not like people are going to be like, oh man, remember Pudgy and how those were actually something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're just going to depart.
And it feels, I would say the ETH NFT piggy bank is getting stuffed right now. There is some stuffing going on and people are excited.
I feel like it's the opposite side of that. I think the piggy bank is getting funds taken out.
Clemente having a little fun on a Friday morning. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. Today's show is brought to you in partnership with Tensor, the leading Solana NFT marketplace. They've recently rolled out the feature Price Lock, the feature that we discussed during the show today across several collections, Crypto Undeads, Tensorians, Bodogos, that's our collection,
Bodogos,
and more. And the Price Lock feature allows users to long and short Solana NFTs. If you're shorting a collection, you lock in a price for a week. And if the price goes below the price of your price lock, then you make the spread minus a small fee. You can go to tensor.trade/lock to try it out. We did two of them on the show today, we also pointed out the Mad Lads one is a very interesting potential angle to take as well. Nick?
Do you think they're going to be rolling out the piggy bank feature soon and with the tagline, just stuff it?
Oh, I don't
get stuffed.
I don't know if that's what Tensor's team is going to do from like a product name.
You don't think they'll hear it on this show and be like, holy shit, those guys are geniuses?
I'm going to be interested to see what they make of them. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, happy Friday. We'll be back in our homes next week. This is the last day of the Bodagos team offsite. Yeah, we don't have to sleep in this apartment.
Then
house
I'm going
again.
To L.A. on Wednesday.
Yeah, really?
Don't leak that. Yeah.
Don't leak that out.
Stay quiet, Chief.
Going to L.A. You know,
don't get stuffed.
Big time.
I'm gonna take a photo on my plane. That's coming next. Oh. We need to get a photo on a plane. That's definitely like
a private plane.
That'll just piss people off.
It might be funnier if we're all sitting in the back of economy, like by the bathroom, just in a row together.
Should we rent the cheapest private plane, like New York to Hartford or something? Like just for the sake of doing it?
New York to Long Island.
Right, New York to the Hamptons.
15-minute flight.
Private jet to the Hamptons real quick.
We need a camera person coming on being like, yo, we needed to rent this plane because we had a meeting happening in Hartford, Connecticut.
It was a super important meeting, was, you know, 2 hours, booked 2 hours before.
We're talking about the piggy bank stuffing situation.
We have a viral marketing plan, and we're about to go pitch this viral piggy bank get stuffed.
Okay.
Maybe throwing a turkey in there.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, go to
Tensor. We're going to stuff the turkeys.
Go to Tensor.trade. Thanks for listening to the show. We will be back Monday morning. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time each and every week. It's available on Apple and Spotify podcasts, available on YouTube, X platform video. It's available everywhere. Anyway, have a great weekend, everyone.
We're on X.
All right, I'm done.
PO's on.